There's a lot to catch on that, but first let me give you a little idea who our guest is. This guest is, and I really want to get to know this person. As you know, I'm speaking gender neutral here. This person is a drag king as opposed to a drag queen. Now, we all are familiar with drag queens, so this will be interesting. This person goes by the name of Puppet, P-U-P-P-E-T-T. So we'll have to ask all the appropriate questions and get down inside and get all gooey like I like to do. I got a little bit about this person. Puppet has been a passion about performing since childhood. She was in a band. She started out in bands first as a drummer. Later, oh, I said she, didn't I? Well, okay, I guess I'll go she, he, I don't know, but forgive me, Puppet, if I get it wrong, okay? A drummer, later as a lead singer before moving into drag performance. As a drag king, Puppet was a core member of the Liberty City King drag and burlesque troupe in Philadelphia for 2 years until 2011 when they moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career in directing and acting. Their on-screen credits include guest star roles on Catfish. I've watched that many times. It's a very interesting program. The Untold Stories and supporting roles in Drifter, a feature film, and The Mid-Autumn Dinner, a short film. Her is Puppet's professional theater debut. Now, what is here, H-I-R? That is a play that is going on, and again, we'll have to ask all about that. It's a stage play that's going on up in L.A., and I can tell you that it is playing, it's called Taylor Mack Bold, Funny, and Uncurbed, H-I-R it's spelled, explores uncharted frontiers of gender in L.A. Mm-hmm, this should be interesting. Premieres at the Odyssey. This is what it tells that it's about. It sounds a little bit like there was a movie out fairly recently called Sordid Lives. And Sordid Lives, well, if you've ever seen it, it was a raucous romp in, I guess, attitudes and prejudices and religion, and everything was rolled in there. Gender, gay, straight, whatever. But anyway, so it sounds a little bit like us. This is it's character. This is what it says about it. Hilarious and terrifying. H.I.R. is a dysfunctional family dramedy for a new era, a highly intelligent, heartfelt, and deeply, darkly humorous portrayal of a family in crises in which domestic abuse, the trauma of war, and the acceptance of gender neutrality and are illustrated in a nearly absurd, emotionally gripping, intensely real dramatic. Oh, my. I mean, that's a lot. Take a couple Valium before you step into the theater. Somewhere in the American suburbs, Isaac, dishonorably discharged from his tour in Afghanistan, has returned home to discover a household in revolt. The insurgent, his mother, oh no, liberated from an oppressive marriage to Isaac's father by his debilitating stroke. Oh gosh. And with Max, Isaac's newly transgendered sibling, as her ally, Paige is on a crusade to dismantle the patriarchy. So, again, it's playing, you might want to know, it's playing up in Los Angeles, and it goes, I think, through, it says January 19th, which is today, through March 17th. So you got a little time to get up there and see it. Puppet is going to be on the program a little bit later, and we're going to talk all about it and ask her all the pertinent questions about a drag king. Anyway, we'll take a short music break. I'll play the theme song for Pride 365. We all are familiar with drag queens, so this will be interesting. This person goes by the name of Puppet, P-U-P-P-E-T-T. So we'll have to ask all the appropriate questions and get down inside and get all gooey like I like to do. I got a little bit about this person. Puppet has been a passion about performing since childhood. She was in a band. She started out in bands first as a drummer. Later, oh, I said she, didn't I? Well, okay, I guess I'll go she, he, I don't know, but forgive me, Puppet, if I get it wrong, okay? a drummer, later as a lead singer, before moving into drag performance. As a drag king, Puppet was a core member of the Liberty City King drag and burlesque troupe in Philadelphia for 2 years until 2011, when they moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career in directing and acting. Their on-screen credits include guest star roles on Catfish. I've watched that many times. It's a very interesting program. The Untold Stories, and supporting roles in Drifter, a feature film, and The Mid-Autumn Dinner, a short film. Her is Puppet's professional theater debut. Now, what is Hir, H-I-R? That is a play that is going on, and again, we'll have to ask all about that. It's a stage play that's going on up in L.A., and I can tell you that it is playing. It's called Taylor Mack's Bold, Funny, and Uncurbed, H-I-R, it's spelled, explores uncharted frontiers of gender in L.A. This should be interesting. Premieres at the Odyssey. This is what it tells that it's about. It sounds a little bit like there was a movie out fairly recently called Sordid Lives. And Sordid Lives, if you've ever seen it, it was a raucous romp in, I guess, attitudes and prejudices and religion, and everything was rolled in there. Gender, gay, straight, whatever. But anyway, so it sounds a little bit like us. This is it's character. This is what it says about it. Hilarious and terrifying. Hir is a dysfunctional family dramedy for a new era, a highly intelligent, heartfelt, and deeply, darkly humorous portrayal of a family in crises, in which domestic abuse, the trauma of war, and the acceptance of gender neutrality and are illustrated in a nearly absurd, emotionally gripping, intensely real dramatic. Oh, my. I mean, that's a lot. Take a couple Valium before you step into the theater. Somewhere in the American suburbs, Isaac, dishonorably discharged from his tour in Afghanistan, has returned home to discover a household in revolt. The insurgent, his mother, oh no, liberated from an oppressive marriage to Isaac's father by his debilitating stroke. Oh gosh. And with Max, Isaac's newly transgendered sibling, as her ally, Paige is on a crusade to dismantle the patriarchy. So, again, it's playing, you might want to know, it's playing up in Los Angeles, and it goes, I think, through, it says January 19th, which is today, through March 17th. So you got a little time to get up there and see it. Puppet is going to be on the program a little bit later, and we're going to talk all about it and ask her all the pertinent questions about a drag king. Anyway, we'll take a short music break. I'll play the theme song for Pride 365, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you all about what's going on with Pride 365 in 2019. Puppet, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're live here with Puppet. Listen, I just to warn you, Puppet, I had gone over your bio here, and I had identified you as a drag king and suggested that we had a lot to talk about on that topic. Are you cool with that?
Sure, we can talk about that.
Anyway, you're in a stage play up in L.A., and I gave him a little bit of information about it. It's called H-I-R. First of all, how is that pronounced? Her? Hire?
It's pronounced Hir.
Hir.
H-E-R-E, spelled H-I-R. And that's the pronoun that my character uses. And Taylor Mack talks about, the writer for the play talks about how he likes the double meaning of the sound, where it refers to a place and also it's the pronoun.
Okay, all right. Rainbow Radio, we like to talk about guests that are involved in the LGBTQ community and that are participating. So I came across your background as very active, it seems. And in fact, you moved to LA in about 3 years ago. 2011.
I moved here, Yeah, in 2011. Yeah, and I was drag king in Philadelphia before moving out here.
Yep.
And I've been doing like LGBT short films in Los Angeles, and
okay.
I played a trans role on Catfish on TV.
I'm familiar with Catfish. You met Dev and what's the other guy's name? I can't remember.
Max?
Maybe, yeah, Max. Dev and Max. Dev Patel, I believe it is. Yeah. There, everyone says that they should be gay because they're so cute together. but I guess they got girlfriends and going their own ways. That happens, you know?
I guess that's allowed.
So what? One day you woke up in Philadelphia and said, I think I'm going to do a transgender... Well, I'm going to say trans. I don't know what would you characterize the plays that you've been or the, I guess the activities you've been involved with.
You mean being a drag king?
Yeah.
I was at a commune in Tennessee called Idle Dandy Acres, and they had a like talent show kind of event, and I tried doing a drag performance there. Was my first time doing drag, and thought it was really fun. And so when I got back to Philadelphia, where I was studying for college, I was looking for a troupe to join, and the Liberty City Kings popped up, and they're like a gender bending drag troupe where we have drag queens, yeah. Drag kings, people of all genders performing all genders, and it was like a really fun group to be a part of.
Yeah, I've been involved in theater a little bit, and I have to say there's a profound friendship that I've gathered from the people I've been involved with, because it seems they're all honorable, and they're all, I don't know, they're all very different, very diverse group of people, but it's heartwarming. I assume you had a similar experience with the people in theater.
Yeah, you become a family pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. So that was kind of a flashover, flashpoint for you, your first experience with it, and you felt it was kind of fun, it sounds like. And
I started out as an actor when I was pretty young, but then after, you know, like in high school, they cast you wherever, but once I was outside of school, there isn't a lot of theater for people who are visibly queer, so I just hadn't really been acting much, and then when I found the drag world, it was a way to get that, like, performance part of my life back.
Wow.
So it fulfilled me in that kind of way, and then...
Well, don't you... I think now there's more of an acceptance of drag than there has been in the past, and
it's been growing.
Yeah, and growing, and I suppose it's nice to be a part of that.
I did do like a little drag king comeback for one night in 2018, but for the most part, that was kind of fulfilling my acting craving. And when I came to LA, I actually quit acting because I didn't see any roles for me. But then, when I guess it was 2013 when Orange is the New Black and the Fosters both came out around the same time, and I decided to give it a try again.
Oh, wow. Are you enjoying LA?
Yeah, more than I expected to.
Yeah.
And less than I like. I'm like an East Coast city kind of person, so I miss my skyscrapers. But,
yeah, there's a different culture.
Yeah, it's a good place with people pursuing their dreams.
Let's talk about the new production that you're involved in. What is your character in it? Are you?
So I play Max, who is a teenage transmasculine non-binary kid. And
non-binary. Would you say that again?
That's a non-binary transmasculine.
I'm not making fun. I'm admiring it. I think it's wonderful.
The play kind of deals with disgusting and educating on the non-binary space of gender. And something great about it is that Taylor Mack's written the play in such a way that the burden of explaining gender pronouns is on the cis characters in the play instead of on the trans character. And I really like that.
So it's like a third-person observations that are put forth. Or second person, I guess. The stage play, it opened? It looked like it was opening tonight.
Yeah, so we had previews the last couple nights, but tonight is our official opening.
And I got you on the phone on the day of your official opening?
Yes.
Thank you.
Special morning.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. You probably last night going, oh, no, what the deal? 9 o'clock in the morning? Please, I'm a theater person.
Right. It's okay. I woke up for you.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that here at Rainbow Radio in Laguna Beach. And then it runs through March, it looks like.
Yeah, we go through March 17th. We have shows Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 with 2 Wednesdays and 1 Thursday show. And all that information and ticketing can be found on the theater's website.
Odyssey, right?
Yeah, so it's odysseytheater.com, which is O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y, theater with an R-E.com. And so information on show times and tickets is up there. And then also the theater posts discount information on their Instagram a lot. So you can follow them on Instagram for a discount.
Let's delve into it sounds like a thoroughly delicious format, and at the same time there's a very serious note to some of it, it seems. I haven't seen the play, obviously, because it's just opening, but can you tell me a little bit more about the message in the that you perceive in the program?
Well, something I think that a lot of great theater does and that this show does is it kind of asks more questions than it answers. We're kind of looking at what, like, the current... I know that the director really liked the timeliness of the play right now. It was written a few years ago, but a lot of theaters are doing the show now because of our current political climate. It sort of deals with the, like, split in the moment between people who are moving forward toward progressive diversity versus, like, kind of the old world order, as it were. And so it just is kind of looking at, like, how do we move forward? What direction is that? What happens to people on one or the other side or... it's a play that does a good job of poking fun at everybody while also, like, I think the audience can laugh at each character and with each character, and at various times you empathize with each of the different people.
I wanted to say also, I made the comparison a little bit to Sordid Lives, but as there was a serious nature, but there was a lot more comedy and slapstick, I think, in Sordid Lives. But it was a raucous romp about human nature, I guess, and families and religion and all the other things rolling. This sounds a bit more serious from what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a very... loud comedy for a while. There are serious things in it, but I think a fair amount of it is definitely on the comedic side.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you talk about timing with it too. I'm just going to jump out. I would venture to say that even RuPaul and the drag shows that have been so popular has changed a lot of attitudes as well. Do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think that mainstream, like, visibility is helping change people's attitudes. There's definitely been more of a concentration on telling, like, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race is primarily drag queens.
Right.
It was exclusively drag queens for much of its existence. And so we are starting to have like trans male characters pop up in some shows as well.
Yeah. And well, it certainly stirred the pot. I don't want to say that the transgender is a whole different chapter in that pot, but I think it's an awakening for those who may be a bit locked down in their, I guess, in their mind about what we're all, what everyone is all about, and that it's okay to be have some diverse character, because that's kind of what makes the world go round, you know?
Yeah, I think media is more interesting when it reflects the people we live with and around and see every day.
Yeah, the human interest part of it. So I always like to delve into that in the program about the passion part of it, because I think, and it sounds for like for you, that you're passionate about what you're doing and have pursued it and gone, and it's a wealthy person who can enjoy their passion in their work, I feel, and it sounds like you have done that. Is that a good characterization of you?
Can you, sorry, I'm not sure I understand. You mean make a living on passion?
Well, yeah, I mean, some people, I remember my dad said, go get a job. And the old attitude was, you got a job, it didn't matter. Didn't care matter whether you liked it or not, you got a job because you needed money. And that was kind of the old attitude. Now it's kind of an attitude, let's find a job that you're happy with. And then I think now the attitude has come to, let's find a job that you're passionate about, something you really put your whole heart into. And Puppet, it sounds like that's what where you are in your life. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think it's fair. I will say that I'm not making any sort of living off of acting yet. Yeah. But I work, my day job is at a company called Steven Spark, and it's a day job that I also really love. And I went and found something that's in the same industry I'm interested in, that it's a way to stay happy in my day job life and then also pursue my passion outside of those hours.
Yeah. What, how's your family? Do they know your career and everything? And did you come out to them, I guess? Were they supportive, or have they been supportive?
Yes. I actually went to a private high school that was supposedly had a concentration on the arts, and then
how fortunate.
I went to, that was a really like generous and great experience.
Yeah.
And then I went to college to study filmmaking, and so yeah, they've known about my career goals for a while, and they're excited about how it's going so far.
Well, good. So, and you've moved out to LA, and you miss a bit of the East Coast, but LA is your home for now, and there's a lot going on up there. I lived in West LA, and I loved it. So close to so many things going on. But we here in Laguna Beach have, if you haven't been to Laguna Beach, we have our own little enclave, and it's a very creative group, and there's a theater here that is, there's actually two of them, but there's the theater here that benefits being in close proximity to L.A., because a lot of the stage plays that are there, they might come down here for a week or two between their road trips or whatever else. So it's an opportunity for the theater here, which is
cool.
Yeah, it's great. And we've got some people, some great programs down here in the benefit in the community. And there's a pretty thriving gay community down here, too. We have drag shows regularly around here. And I remember I was managing a local bar here for a while, and we had drag kings. And they were very popular, I have to say. And I thought it was fun. I thought, you know, it should work both ways here. Come on, folks.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it'd be fun to do that again at some point, I think. Yeah. So you're after. I suppose you're just focusing on this play for the next 3 or 4. Well, actually, it's about 4 weeks, isn't it?
March. It's like 9 weeks, I think.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, tonight's the. I wish I could be there and see the grand opening.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully you could come to another show later in the run.
Yeah, that would be fun to talk about on the program as well, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, you've got to get some rest and get ready for your big debut. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on this morning since I cut you up so early?
I'm not a morning person, so I'll do my best.
Well, you're doing pretty good.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, this play is, I saw the world premiere in San Francisco a few years ago. My friend played the role, and I just think it's a really, as an audience member, I say I loved it, and I think it's a truly great play that people should see, and I'm really excited to be in the LA premiere. So
yeah.
Hopefully some of your listeners can make it up.
Well, absolutely. There was a little more detail I found here. It says, here is about the future of America and how we might break into the next moment, says Di Lorenzo. Do you know Di Lorenzo?
Yes, that's the director.
Okay.
Di Lorenzo.
This country in its defining documents was seeking to transition from autocratic rule to individual rights. But how far did we get? And we will keep moving forward or will we move back? Here is the opposite of Make America Great Again slogan. Ooh. It's arguing that unless you're willing to overlook and ignore quite a lot, this country has never been great, has never lived up to the promise to its constitutional freedoms. But from this point, many voices contend it will have to, and it will be the cost, and what will be the cost of liberation. At the same time, here is a funny, dark comedy that Mac calls absurd realism. Mac adopts the form of the classic American family play and then sends it spinning. Well, it sounds like something everyone should see, I think.
Yeah. And Bart, the director that you just quoted, he's like a really fantastic, smart director, and there's a lot of excellent choices in the play we can attribute to his directing. It's been a really great play to be a part of. And the whole team's done wonderful. So
it's not going to stop with this play. It's going to go on to something else. And you might be directing since you had some training in that regard, right, in school?
I've directed some short films. I'll plug my short film, Wedlock, can be watched on Seed and Spark, which is seed, like a plant seed, and... Oh. Spark.com, and it's a short film about, we made it right before marriage equality in the country, and so it's about divorce inequality for LGBT couples, and it's a comedy written by Guinevere Turner, and it's fun. People
Did you say it's a short film?
Yeah, it's a short comedy about how couples, if they were living in a state that didn't recognize their marriage, they couldn't get divorced.
So they're locked in forever, the rest of their lives. No exit door. All right. Well, thank you again. Is anyone you want to shout out to and say, hey, I'm on the radio? Hey, hi, Mom. Dad?
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Sure. I'll go send them this the link later.
Yeah, it'll be in a podcast later, and then as well we have it on rainbow-radio.com later today. So if you can.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's been great.
No, thank you for calling in, and I've like they say, break a leg. I always hate that expression, but break a leg. I'm so pleased we got in the before the big premiere showing or event this evening. So I really, truly wish you a fabulous evening, and thank you for coming on the show. It's people like you that make it this program what it is and interesting to the audience. So thanks again.
Okay, thanks so much. Have a good time.
You're KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio.